In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please turn your Bible with me quickly. You know, we started a series on defending the faith. Defending the faith. And I promised you that I will stay on that subject for a period of time so that we can separate the chaff from the wheat. It is needful for us to understand that part of our responsibility in the kingdom of God is to provide a defense for our faith. Before we go into the tactics, go into the expertise of the actual defense of the faith, which is what we're going to do subsequently, we want to introduce robustly the responsibility of defending the faith. Turn to the book of John. Let me introduce a concept to us quickly. John chapter 14, beginning from verse number 1. John 14, beginning from verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can we read verse number 6 again? And Jesus said unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, are you still there? Now, this is a scripture of a lot of theological controversy when Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place for us. And in Africa, the traditional interpretation of this scripture means that Jesus was going to prepare a place for us in heaven. But if you look at the context quite carefully, you will find we are in chapter 14 of a book that has up to chapter 21. So Jesus was not talking about his going to heaven now, because he was still in the midst of the action. He was actually talking about his going to the cross. Meanwhile, I'm not attempting to take your traditional interpretation of this scripture away. But once and again, it is needful for us to toe the part of accuracy and the part of precision. And because I don't want to dispossess you of your use, your evangelical use of this scripture, I will not explain verse 1 and verse 2 so that I don't dispossess you of your veritable evangelical tool that you have used to conquer the hearts of so many people and to bring them to the kingdom of light. But if you will not be offended, then we can trouble the scriptures a little to find what the mind of God really is about the book of John chapter 14. Now, the revelation, the key revelation that is in the book of John chapter 14 is the revelation of what we call the Father's house. The Father's house. And I hope you know, are you there? So, if we are saying, what is the direction to your house, we are asking for your address. And if we arrive at that address, it is expected that we should have contact with you. Is that true? So Jesus speaks about his Father's house. And just like I said, he was not going to heaven. So the subject of John chapter 14, even though that's not my emphasis for the evening, but it's difficult for me to jump the verses that are within a certain context so that you will not think that truth exists in a vacuum. Truth exists in an environment, and we cannot isolate a scripture outside of an environment and give it a meaning that is not consistent with the environment where it was found. In the spirit, currently, God is demanding for technical and spiritual accuracy. And so the number of this season is 4. What did I say? I said the number of this season is 4. Because God is demanding balance. And whenever you have a truth that is not balanced, what you have done is that you have created a possibility, an operating system for Satan to have access. So if we have partial truth, because you will discover that Satan has the capacity to quote scriptures. But whenever Satan quotes scriptures, the condition that makes what he's quoting efficacious is not part of his quotation. So if we present half truth, what we are doing is that we are giving the devil a ground and an access. So it is needful for us to be very holistic. Part of the struggles we have as the body of Christ in Africa, but I can speak about Nigeria, is because powerful revelations were released without balance. And the effect of the revelations became a harbinger of Satan's activity. So it is needful, in view of the obvious need for technical accuracy, for us to look upon scriptures and allow the Bible to interpret itself, because the Bible has its own logic. I saw a preacher preaching the gospel, preaching from the Bible, and trying so hard to make a verse of scripture say what it didn't say. So hard, he was busy. But you see, the Bible has its own logic, and we interpret scripture with scripture. Woo, that's enough talk. Now, let's go back to the Bible. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Then he brings the robust introduction of the concept of his Father's house. Are you there? I said, are you there? Yes, all right. So let me clear your doubts first by following the progression of revelation in that scripture. And then I will explain what verse 2, which is your major evangelical tool, what it's actually talking about. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. The first question we need to ask in that verse of scripture is, where is Jesus going? Meanwhile, this explanation I'm giving is not part of the intentions I have for this teaching. It's my inability to jump to the verse of interest without touching this place that is making me extend my talk to include all of these complicated aspects. So the first question we need to ask is, where is Jesus going? Because he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you will be also. Right? Are you with me? Now, and all of these things he's saying, he said, the reason why I'm going into my, the reason why I'm going where I'm going is so that where I am, you will be also. Is that clear? Oh my God. Okay, you are not following. All right. So, are you there now? All right. So this is Jesus speaking. And it will surprise you to know that the book of John has 21 chapters. And this is chapter 14. Jesus was not en route to heaven. So Jesus wasn't talking about going to heaven. Jesus was actually talking about going to the cross. And the subject that Jesus presents here is the subject of his father's house. You know, I told you that if you give someone the address to your house and the person follows that address, it is expected that if it arrives at the address you gave him and the address is accurate, that is the place where he can meet you. Is that true? Okay. So, Jesus was going to the cross. And the reason for which he said he was going to the cross was because he wants to be where, wants us to be where he is. So the question is, where is Jesus? Where is he going? He's going to the cross, not going to heaven. So the house he's talking about is not a house of heaven. You there? So let me tell you what the Father's house means. Jesus was the Father's house at that time. Jesus was the vessel that the Father possessed. Jesus was the Father's address. Notice Jesus made a statement. Come with me. Come with me. Notice Jesus made a statement in verse 4. Look at verse 4 quickly. He said, and whether I go, you know, and you know the way to arrive there. And then Thomas said, hey, don't get us confused. Where you are going, we are not aware of. How do you claim that we know the way? In response to that, Jesus now says, I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Now, do you still remember he was talking about the Father's house? Oh my God, you guys are not. No, this class is dull. So let me just go to the verse of interest. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thomas says, we don't know where you are going. How do you claim that we will know the way? Then Jesus, in responding to Thomas, says, I am the way. I am the progressive part. I am the substance of reality. I am the wellspring of life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me. What he was saying was, I am the Father's address. Now, in another scripture, you'll find Thomas says, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus says, so I've been with you for all this long and you are still asking where the Father is? What Jesus was trying to make Thomas understand was that he was the Father's house. That the Father possessed him. That everything he spoke, everything he did, was what the Father prompted him to do. The Father that was in him. Just like now that you are born again, Christ Jesus is in you. But for, are you there? The Bible reveals in the New Testament that Christ is your life. That means your life is a sum total of the promptings, the vision, the perspective that Christ makes available to you. The Christ that is in you. So just like your life is Christ, because the Bible says we are dead and our life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. Just like for the believer, his life is Christ. For Jesus, his life was his Father. His Father possessed him. His Father was tabernacled in him. For the Bible reveals that in him does the Godhead dwell bodily. So he was the Father's address. Are you there? Oh my God, you are not here. Did you get that? So, in view of this explanation I've given you, I want to interpret verse 2. Because it says, in my father's house, and he was his father's house. You get that? There are many menor means dwellings. Meanwhile, it will interest you to know that the Greek word for mansions is moni. Yeah, okay, that's the accurate pronunciation of the word moni, which means abodes or dwellings. Are you there? I know you can understand houses in a mansion. I know you can understand that. But what Jesus is saying is mansions in a house, not houses in a mansion. That if I go to the cross, I'm going to be pierced. And on the strength of that piercing, the body of Christ is going to emerge. My body is going to be emerged. And you will have a place in my body. So it will be added dwellings in my father's house. Oh my. If you didn't get that, then I'm going to shut down. So you become part, you become where he is, that is his body. You become part of his body because he went to the cross, and then you will be an abode. You will be a menor. You will be a moni. A dwelling within Christ that God still possesses. So he was not talking about the cross, about heaven. He was talking about what?
The cross.
Having said that, the reason why I came into this scripture is because of the robust introduction that Jesus gave about himself. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. So if we are going to defend the faith, we must understand what the truth is. The truth. I am the truth. Because as we study in the New Testament, I just did a study before I came out here, 133 times you will find the truth. It's a concurrent reality in New Testament presentation that every believer must fully articulate its essence and its meaning. Are you there? So to start with, Jesus now says, I am the truth. Good. When Jesus says, I am the truth, what does he mean? Anybody willing to come to the rescue? I am the truth. Let me spare you the time. And let us jump to the book of John chapter 8. From verse 31 to 32. John 8, verse 31 to 32. We need to know what the truth is. The truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me, because I am the Father's house. I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to be pierced on the cross, and that surgery will make you a part of my body, so that there will be additional mansions, monies, within this house that I am. So the Father too will have dwellings within this house. You get it? And when Thomas was confused, Jesus was compelled to define who he was. And part of what he said he was that he was the truth. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples. Indeed, if ye continue in my word, there is a philosophy that I want to sell to you. And if you accept my philosophy, you accept my perspective, you submit to the authority of my word, it means that you have become my disciple. Are you there? How do we know someone who is a disciple of Jesus? The trademark of discipleship, one of the obvious marks of discipleship is that a disciple recognizes the authority of the word of God. You see, there's something about God. God is a king. And God does not rule by brute strength. God rules by decrees. And because God rules by decrees, God has vested so much authority on his spoken word. So much authority. Because of the authority that is vested on God's spoken word, he doesn't use words the way human beings use words. And as humorous as Jesus was in the days of his flesh, he was a friend of children. He could mingle with ordinary citizens. He could sit among kings, and he had an excellent spirit. And as humorous as he was, as approachable as he was, as friendly as Jesus was, Jesus never cracked a joke. Never. You know why? Because if Jesus cracks a joke, it is because of the authority that is vested on his spoken word that he could not trivialize it to get into jokes. Because if Jesus says, "See your big head," your head will become big. The kind of bigness that is big, where God is involved. You know, when God says something is big, hallelujah, it will become big because, you see, there is so much authority that is vested in his words that he doesn't use words the way we do. So the Bible says, this is what Jesus told those that believed on him. Are you there? The guys had believed on him. They had become born again. They had accepted him as their personal Lord and their Savior. Then he now tells them how to continue the journey of salvation that they have arrived at. The principle by which you came by salvation is different from the principle by which you will continue in the salvation that you have received. You came by salvation through the principle of faith. Alright? The spiritual resource that made salvation possible was grace. The effort that came from your own human spirit to appropriate the possibilities of grace was faith. So you stumbled into salvation because you exercised your faith in a person. And the name of the person happens to be Jesus. Are you there? Now, if you are going to continue in this new reality that you stumbled upon occasioned your salvation, if you are going to continue in it, you are going to continue in it by obedience. Because when God wanted to save you, he used power. And that was why you had conviction. You were restless until you gave your life to Christ. Now, if he wants to mature you, he will do that by exerting his authority over your life. That's a different ball game altogether. And the first line of authority that every believer must be acquainted with is the authority of the word of God. And so Jesus said unto those Jews that believed on him, they were born again. If you recognize the authority that is in my word and you continue to operate under the influence of my word, you will become chartered disciples. They are false disciples. And they are chartered disciples. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, then shall ye be my disciples. What? Indeed, chartered. You will see, you will find out that anyone that questions the authority of the word of God is a false disciple. Are you there? A pastor was caught in the act of adultery. Are you there? And when he was confronted, he said that the Holy Spirit told him to produce children from two women. 6 each. So that they can produce, just like the 12 tribes of Israel, 6 from two women. Now, when you find someone that brings sub philosophies to challenge the authority of the word of God, we did not know that fornication was a sin until the word of God told us. So what that pastor was doing was that he was looking for a way around to negate the word of God. He's not a disciple. He may be born again, but he's not a disciple. He is not willing to learn the ways of Jesus. And you know what? There are so many things that people that are born again are. Are you there? So many things that we are because of our union with Christ Jesus. In fact, apart from Christ, we are nothing. So everything we are is because we are with Christ. So there are so many things that we are because we are one with Christ in the new birth. It must enter your head that someone that is not a disciple of Jesus is not qualified to hold the microphone and teach other believers. There are many things you can do, and there are many things that you are as a believer in Jesus Christ, but you are not licensed to teach other people if you are not a disciple of the word of God. So we have a lot of people today that trivialize the word of God. So when you confront them with the word of God, they have arguments and they make all kinds of statements against the word of God. The proof is that what it means is that they are not disciples. They are false believers. False believers accept Jesus as Savior, but they don't accept Jesus as Lord. So Jesus cannot exercise his authority over their lives. And if Jesus cannot exercise his authority over your life, then he cannot fulfill his divine purpose through your life. The only way God can fulfill his divine purpose through your life is that he exerts his authority over your life. And one of the agencies through which the authority of God is exerted on your life is the word of God. The word of God carries all of God's authority, such that when God speaks, his words become law, and God himself becomes subject to the things that he has spoken. And that's why the Bible says that God has exalted his word much more than his name. Are you there? Only chartered disciples who are disciples that recognize the authority of his word and continue therein have the authority to be able to instruct others. So there are many people on the pulpit today that are not chartered. They don't have the license of instruction because their life is a departure. Their life was not forged by the authority of God. There is lawlessness is the description of their lives. It is proof of the fact that the authority of God has not yet been exerted. And a lot of people, a lot of immature Christians and babies have microphones today, basking in lawlessness. The proof that you have met God is that the influence of God, the values of God, the ways of God have infiltrated your life. So your life now speaks the ways of God, speaks the values of God. The only way you became that way is because you accepted the authority of God to exert his influence on your life. If ye continue in my word, do not stay under a pastor, do not stay under a preacher that does not recognize the authority of the word of God. Satan is a counterfeit. The Bible speaking about Satan said that he can transform itself to become an angel of light. But you see, as we study tonight, we find out that Satan cannot abide in the truth. Stay with me. He can't abide in the truth. Because he doesn't recognize the authority of the word of God. He cannot abide there. So when you see people that cannot abide under the authority of the word of God, when God says, this is a sin, and the person is right inside of it, and still shouting, still claiming, see, you know the problem? The thing is that the person is not a disciple. He's a false believer. He's a false Christian. He's masquerading. He's using the name of Jesus for his own personal gain. He's using the name of Jesus for his enterprise. But what he's doing has by no means extends the influence of Jesus in the earth. These are the days of counterfeits. These are the days of fakes. These are the days of masquerading. These are the days of impersonation. And a lot of people feel it is great business to take the name of Jesus, because that's the easy way of gaining acceptance from a large population. So we need to build deeper so that the average believer will gain the advantage of discernment to know people that are counterfeiters, people that are impersonators and have not accepted the authority that is rooted in the word of God. If you continue with my word, and he was telling this is the message that was preached to believers. So the moment people give their life to Christ, one of the responsibilities we have is to tell them how that the word of God is the ground norm of the Christian life. You know, the word ground norm is another name for the constitution. What determines what is wrong, what regulates our activities, the laws by which we can be convicted if we violate them. So the ground norm of the Christian life is the word of God. And just like you cannot be a Nigerian and claim to be above the constitution of Nigeria, one of the powers of sovereignty that God gave to you, are you there? So you have a sovereign soul, right? You have a sovereign soul. But you see, in your soul is your will. And it is with your will, for instance, you went to vote a candidate. Are you there? So in voting a candidate, what you did is that you transferred some of that, your sovereignty, to that candidate to operate. That's why the candidate is powerful. That's why the president is powerful. And the power of the president is actually drawn from the constitution. It's the constitution that told you how you can transfer some of your power to the president so that cumulatively he becomes the most powerful man, wielding the influence to protect life, to protect property, and to create a level playing field for us to be able to carry out merchandise and trade for the benefit of the economy of the land. Are you there? Now, so if you are a Nigerian, you cannot be above the constitution. Because if you try to operate apart from the constitution, you might violate a few things that will end you up in Kirikiri. Those of you that have stayed in Lagos, you know Kirikiri, one of the most ancient prison houses that we have. And you don't want to go to Kirikiri. Kirikiri is the name of a place, but it became the broken English representation for prison. Because of the vengeance, the torture that is associated. May the Lord give you understanding. So for those of you online that don't know Kirikiri, I need to explain it to you. The meaning of Kirikiri is the most terrible prison that we have in Nigeria. It's located in a place called Kirikiri. So if you find yourself in Kirikiri, when you come out, you even need deliverance. You will need the help of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And that's because you violated the constitution. You violated the laws of the land. So how can someone claim to be a Christian and he doesn't recognize the authority of the word of God? And that's the ground norm for the Christian man. That's a false believer. He doesn't realize that the authority of God is vested on his spoken word, because God rules by decrees. So in denying the authority that is in the word of God, he has denied God. So that kind of an individual cannot claim by any means to be God's spokesman. He is an impersonator. He's a masquerade. Are you there? You are not there. You are not here. You don't understand that as we travel around the world, there are temptations. The reason why I will not yield to it in the name of Jesus is because I need to stand here and still instruct you. There are obligations that I must keep in order for me to have a valid license of instruction over this house and indeed in the body of Christ. And if by any means there's a violation of that license, I will stop preaching. I will stop being here. Do you understand that? This is not somebody's birthright. It's not a chieftaincy title. If those obligations are not kept, I like my soul. I love my soul. I will leave the pulpit and submit myself to elders. When they feel that I've been restored enough to handle the scripture and bring instruction again, whenever they do, let them restore me and say, we've watched him, yes, and we believe that he has been restored by the Lord. So we elders will restore him back to his ministry. I will submit to the elders. Because the fact that I pioneered the ministry under the instruction of Jesus doesn't mean I'm all in all. I'm still under the authority of the word of God. And when you see someone that doesn't recognize it, he believes it's a principality because he has a calling into ministry and the ministry is pedestal. He's not a disciple indeed. If you continue my word, then shall ye be what? My disciples indeed, and ye shall know what? That's where I'm taking you to. Underline the truth. Let us start the journey. These are introductory verses of scripture that will begin to bring. It is only chartered disciples that will have access into the knowledge of the truth. Only chartered disciples. Only chartered disciples will have access to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. So there are dimensions of Christ. There are dimensions of his administration. There are dimensions. It will interest you to know that eternal, you can't finish knowing an eternal personality. God was not created. God was not born. God cannot die. Even if Jesus comes and sits here today and begins to teach us about himself every day for eternity. Eternity is not enough for us to know everything about him. We cannot know everything about him because he was never created. So there are dimensions of Christ. Every dimension of Christ that you get to understand is part of the truth. And that truth has the capacity to make free. Make free from the limitations of this age. Make free from bondages. Make free, make liberated. Every aspect, every strand of the truth you get to know and begin to walk by. Oh my God, there'll be evidence of liberty. There'll be evidence of victory. There'll be evidence. Yeah, there'll be evidence. But you see, this truth that we speak of will only be granted to such that are chartered disciples that recognize the authority of the word of God. If you continue with my word, then will you be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. So the truth is not for every Christian. The truth is for chartered disciples. And the proof that you have access to the truth is that you will see the victory that Jesus won on the cross. You will see it in my life. It will be evident in my life. Not false prosperity. Real, genuine prosperity. Real, genuine victory. Because every aspect of victory is tied to a discovery of a dimension of Christ. And these discoveries will only come to chartered disciples that recognize the authority of the Word of God. Are you there? Still going on? I will soon go into definition of terms, but I need to open up a wide array of scriptures to us. John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. Are you there in John 8? John chapter 8, verse number 44. This is Jesus rebuking. He's rebuking. And he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. See, part of the qualities, part of the characteristics of the devil is that he abode not. He abode not in the truth. Please listen to me. The laws of God are derived from the nature of God. The laws of God are expressions of the nature of God. Are you there? If you are going to walk in Christ, walk in the reality of Christ, then there are laws that the nature of Christ will present to you. Those laws that the nature of Christ would demand of you in order for you to be a representative of God in the earth. Huh? Those laws are laws. Those are disclosures of the truth. And once you walk in those laws, you will find victory. Your life will be an expression of an exceptional situation. The Bible revealed concerning the devil that, what did he say? He could not abide in the truth. The laws of God that derived from the nature of God were presented to Satan, and Satan could not abide in those laws. So it means that Satan was contrary from the truth. Anytime you find counterfeits, they are always contrary from the truth. It is not too difficult to know a counterfeit. Are you there? Yes, the person cannot abide in the truth. He cannot function in the laws of God that are derived from the nature of God. There are laws that derive from his nature. Hallelujah. Because God has a righteous nature. In fact, the reason why God's throne is eternal. Have you read the scripture that says that thy throne, O God, is forever and ever? Have you read that scripture? And you say the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. The reason why thy throne is forever is because you operate with the principle of righteousness. So nothing can challenge your dominion. Nothing can challenge your power. Because your throne is established on the operating system of righteousness. So righteousness is part of God's nature. Are you with me? So when you begin to walk under the influence of the authority of the Word of God, then you begin to discover God's operating system, the way God himself operates. Are you there? That he operates by righteousness. It's okay. And then you now come to town. And then you now discover that people that operate by righteousness, their life is slow. But people that cut corners, they break through quickly. Have you discovered that?
Yes, sir.
And there'll be a temptation for you to discard the ways of God and to embrace the ways of the world because it seems to have more promise. But you decide that, oh, I am a chartered disciple. It doesn't matter whether it is slow or fast. as far as I know that this is the position of God's word, this is where I will stay. Then you are a disciple indeed. You know what God will do to you in order to fast track your own life? What he will do to you is not to cut corners for you. He will give you authority. He will give you anointing. He has seven things he gives to people. People that decide to walk with him, he has seven things that he gives them that puts them on the advantage. One is authority. Hallelujah. Chief Don, have you heard of a situation where people that hate you, they now entered into a once terrible problem? There was a sickness that invaded one of them, and they had to send the other one to come to me to beg and say, you know what I normally, people that hate you, when they are compelled to come to you because of something that God has given you, how do they face you? Is it this side they face or this side? It is a humbling. God knows what to give you that will accelerate you, but you must prove that you are his disciple indeed. Indeed. Are you there? You must prove it. There are many things he will give you. Many things he will give you. One of them is anointing. And then you discover that the place where people suffer stress when you come there is so easy. Someone came here for our service and saw me preaching and laughing. And after the service, he came to me and said, "Why are you making preaching look easy? Is it my fault?" No, it's an anointing. There's grace. It's not a struggle. No, if you... There's an anointing for everything you are doing. There's an anointing for business. And when the anointing for business comes upon you, it's not really about the how powerful the business idea is. No. Some of you think you need to go to Harvard Business School so that you can learn interpolation. Those days when I was still working at the depot here, there was one guy called Kiabiz. Never went to school. One of the most powerful, I think he's from Vandekia. Oh, you know him. I used to work on his document, and I heard he never went to school. Now. There are things that God can give you that will make up for your deficiency. But he's only meant for disciples indeed. He knows that the world is averse to your principles, to your values, and the world will fight you. So what he does is that he puts something upon you that the world cannot approximate, the world cannot create, the world cannot form. The world will be compelled to come to you for that resource that he has opened up over your life because you are his disciple indeed. So true disciples of God, there's a way he makes them stand out. He makes them stand up. I can give you the Bible from morning till evening, and I will not read it until 30 minutes. And 30 minutes, I open the Bible. The light that comes, you will know that I have an anointing that breaks open the Bible. You will know it. It's not natural. The other day, one pastor came to me and said, he has found my secret. But the reason why I teach like this is because I have a lot of materials, I have softwares, I have so many things. I say, yes, I actually do. He said, I got it. Then he brought his laptop, brought his tablet, and I put what do we call that encyclopedia? Oh, Encyclopedia Britannica. I put Esword, I put Power Bible, I put Tateka Bible with all the resources, Bible maps, atlas, Bible geography. Then it took off. 2 months later, I met him again. He said, "You made me confused." Yeah, I have all those tools. I have maths. I have charts. I have calculations. I have chronological calculations. I understand dispensations and all of that. I have all the tools. But if you lack the anointing, it will bring you to where? To confusion. There are things that God will give you to stand out. And you know what? You know what? If I stand under that teaching anointing, I can be as tall as a giant. God wanting to show mercy on one of his chartered disciples decided to give me that anointing. If I'm under that anointing, I cannot be wrong. Are you there? But there's an anointing on your life too. You need to find what area the anointing is. In the same place where people struggle, when you come with the anointing, the thing looks easy. It looks cheap. And somebody will look at you and say, I can do better now. I can do better than this. He was my classmate, I beat him. I beat him in physics. I beat him in mathematics. Until the person now launches in and will find out that Satan was waiting for him. May you not jump because you compared yourself with others. Make sure you receive what is given to disciples indeed. Are you there? So the Bible reveals that Satan could not abide in the truth. He was a murderer from the beginning, and one of his traits is that he could not abide in what? He could not recognize the authority of the truth. He could not abide under the authority of the laws of God that derived from the nature of God. So he was contrary to God. He was contrary to his laws. He was contrary to his ways. And if you accept the laws of God, you'll be one with God. You'll be one with his ways. Your life will be a life that represents God. That's how a chartered disciple is. He is a bona fide representative of God. And that is the vision God had in mind for creating man. Let us make man in our own image. The reason why we're supposed to be in God's image is so that we can carry God's authority. And let us make man in our own likeness. The reason why we were designed after his likeness is so that we can represent him. Don't forget that. To authority for image, representation for likeness. So when you find one that refuses to abide by the truth, he is going to be different from God, apart from God, apart from God's ways, apart from God's styles, apart from God's ideas. He will be more of a representative of the devil because he did not accept the authority that is in the word of God. Are you there with me now? All right. Then shall ye be my disciples indeed. There was a scripture I was supposed to take you to, but now I want to open a few complex scriptures in the Bible. There are a few complex scriptures, but I tried to dodge them, but for the purpose of our discussion this evening, there was no way we could dodge them. One of such scriptures is the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The lady just sent me some messages from Port Harcourt. Attended a church service, and when she attended the church service, she felt blessed by the man on the pulpit and decided to take a step further to go for counseling. And when she came for counseling, the pastor recommended that she would need to take a bath. You know, it's Port Harcourt at the bar beach, with a strange soap that has an odor. That the odor of the soap can only remind you of the underworld, of the dead, the land of the dead. And while they go for that, after he will take her back with the soap, the portion of the soap that is left will be thrown into the river after some incantation, and she will recite it on the seat of people. The Bible says that Satan abode not in the truth. That's how we know someone that is for God. He abides in the truth. The one that is for the devil abides not in the truth. And she went ahead. Yeah. Because she was not a disciple. Oh my God. You will do many things. You will do many things if you decide to exalt anything above the word of God. You become a creature for manipulation. She went for the ceremonial bath at the waterside. And then the soap, after some incantations, threw it into the river. From that day, the siren, you know what a siren is? Well, we need to talk. We need to talk. But let me. A siren is a mermaid. It's a mermaid that has rank. Huh? I know you don't know. You don't even believe it. I don't have time to open the scriptures to you to show you when Satan was casted out from heaven. Huh? To show you the two places where his minions landed when they casted them out. But not today. I will build my case subsequently. So the siren is a prince. It's a ranking spiritual entity that operates from the water. Let me give you a small idea before I continue with my teaching. A friend of mine, I met him recently. Actually, I met him on one of my trips, and I don't want to mention which of them. He saw me, I didn't know him before, he just saw me, I said, hey, Apostle! And we connected, and for the next 3 hours we were gisting. Alright? In that country. Okay, so he now told me he's a multi millionaire, he's a billionaire. Right? And he's into real estate. So, he got clearance from one of our state governments to do dredging. You know what dredging is? You take sand and use to cover water until the water begins to go back. And then you now build on that land that was created when you push the water back because you introduced sand. I was a supervisor of my office in the oil industry in Satellite, Lagos. Those of you that know Lagos, you know Satellite? Good. So I was there. I was there when there was only one depot in Satellite. I don't want to mention the name of the depot, but believe me, I was the only one there. Then, if you bring a vessel to Satellite, the depth of Satellite is 8.3 meters. And that's very good draft for a vessel that is 30,000 metric tons capacity. And there was only one depot there. Are you there? All right. The three government jetties, they had a draft of 13.2. So those ones can take vessels like Poseidon, can take vessels like Maersk. But the smaller vessels that were 30,000 metric tons could come to that corridor. It was 8.3 meters of depth. So when that was ascertained, millionaires in Nigeria began to pay for dredging. I saw dredging myself, all right? So the best dredger is Julius Berger. When they bring those, their dredgers, land will come out of that water, you call water, will turn to land. So on that land that we built, so I saw all the other depots that were built, Rano, Wasbab, all of them. I saw them. He came from dredging. So this guy got a permit to dredge and to recover land and to build an estate on it. He was in league with the traditional rulers in the area. The government was on his side. And he found favor. And he's a chartered disciple. He's not just a spoiled millionaire. He knows Jesus. In fact, when I met him, he was en route a private retreat in Scotland. He had paid for a secluded place to stay and look at Jesus for 13 days. So I'm not talking about a spoiled millionaire. When he was to begin construction, begin dredging, so the Holy Spirit woke him up. His house was not too far from the place. He should go to that place 3 a.m. So he disobeyed a little. He arrived there 5 a.m. Then he saw the traditional rulers, the people that held the traditional stake in that place. They were coming out of the water. They went to commune with the siren. And the siren said, "Are you aware that if you dredge this place, you are going to reduce my territory? Think about it. You people are not ready for this. Let's go back. Let's just. What scripture did I ever ask you to open? Are you aware that if you attempt to dredge, what you are saying is that I will lose some of my territory? So the siren gave instructions that I can see it, but you will sacrifice. Are you there? Yes, sir. This guy at this time has spent like 100 million, 200 million, like 300 million. And then the chiefs came and said, our brother, the spirit that controlled this area just gave us an update. In order for us to go on with this project, we need to sacrifice to her. And you know, such high-ranking spirits, they take their debt in blood of all kinds. The moment the guy had sacrificed, even though he has spent millions of naira, he said, "I'm no longer interested." Can you be regulated by the authority of the Word of God? After he left, after spending all of that money, because of the circumstances, he left. And because he left, he became an object of attack for about a year or two. That was his fate for refusing to play. When God saw his faithfulness and his commitment to that, he opened something much bigger somewhere else. And in that case, he will not need to dredge. Are you his disciple indeed? Because I saw how genuine he was. I didn't know when we had discussed. We had gisted for 3 hours. Because I met a disciple. You don't need to be fake for anything. You don't need to cut corners for anything. You can win by righteousness. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I will just do this. Then I'll stop. We'll continue the lecture subsequently. All right, so let's do this. Second Thessalonians, beginning from verse 7 to verse number 10. Then I will round up with a scripture, and every time I'm working on this topic, which is in defense of the truth, that's the topic I'm dealing with, in defense of the truth. Because Satan will want to malign the truth. Satan will raise preachers that want to undermine the truth. Preachers that are trivialize sin, trivialize righteousness, trivialize holiness, exalt money, exalt material stuff, and the values of God are lost in the process. So we need to stand in defense of the truth. We need to faithfully present the position of the truth again and again, because the attempt to overthrow the truth is a campaign that the devil is involved with. All right. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Now, because it is almost closing time, I will not explain some complexities in this scripture. We will leave it to another time. But I need to read it to you. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's talking about the Antichrist. But like I said, I will not explain until I can bring a chart here. I need a time chart, a clock of time. They will put it on the screen. Because if we are dealing with prophetic issues that are captured in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, the first thing we need to do is to bring the time chart. Then when we bring the time chart, we will see where everything lies. Because the revelations that came in the book of Daniel are time-based. It says 70 weeks is determined, showing us that it is time-based. So we need a time chart to do accurate prophetic interpretation. And I don't have that time. And that's not the objective. All right? For now. But we will get set to do those kind of labors. So he's talking about the rise of the Antichrist. And that the Antichrist in verse 10, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So when Satan comes, when the Antichrist comes, he will come with power, he will come with signs, he will come with what? With lying wonders. So the fact that someone has some signs to show does not mean he's from God. The greatest signs will be done by the Antichrist. And that's why if at any point in time the truth is overcome in a generation, Satan has many tools with which to deceive the nations. He will come with power and signs and with lying wonders and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. The reason why you'll be able to deceive people is because of one thing. Check it there. Because they receive not the love of what? The truth. It means that the guys that have received that love, the truth, cannot be deceived. Even if he comes with lying wonders and powers and miracles, those that take sides with the truth will always be in the light. And those that take sides with deception will always be in the darkness. So even in the end, the escapades of the Antichrist, not everyone will be deceived. If you take sides with the truth, you will live. And if you take sides with the darkness, you will die. Let me end, even though I've not finished, because this is just an introduction. What we want to do, I want to teach you how to defend the truth, how to walk in the truth, so that you can become a lamp in your generation. Your life alone will judge people that see you, because your ways are factored in the truth. The testimony of the truth is the true ministry of the end time. Because these are the days when darkness will creep into the land to seize the hearts of men. Satan cannot abide in the truth. I think I need to share a scripture with you. One of the scriptures that God gave me to give me understanding of my calling. So I share it with you today. Ezekiel chapter 44 from verse 23 to 24. As long as there's still breath in my lungs, I will never forget the scriptures. They came from the Lord Jesus to me. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. Now listen to me. Part of the challenge we have in the body of Christ right now is that the demarcation between that which is holy and that which is profane no longer exists. So even though the evidence of the prosperity you are bringing came from theft, it is still prosperity. People will still celebrate and say, yeah, you are a big guy. Meanwhile, it's a state of obituary. For there to be no difference between the holy and the profane. For there to be no difference between the unclean and the clean. It is only through the spirit of truth that you can see the difference between the holy and the profane. Many are in the depths of profanity. But because our generation has an all-time infirmity in the area of discernment, we celebrate people that should be quarantined. And we quarantine people that should be celebrated. The Bible says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean. Next verse. And in controversy. That means where there's an argument, where there is a debate, where there are many views. He said, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge according to my judgment. Judgment there is truth. That means the truth. These guys that will teach the difference between the clean and the unclean. Huh? They are messengers of the end time. That in times of controversy, they will stand on the same ground with my judgments and my statutes. This is what God called me to do. And they shall judge according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies. And they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Rise up, let's pray. In controversy, in times of debates, they will stand and judge according to my judgment. Can we cry for our generation? There is no difference between the profane and the holy. There is no difference between the clean and the unclean. There is no difference between the demonic and the divine. The moment you drive a limousine Benz into this compound, people will hail you. They don't care to know whether you kissed Satan in the night and gave out the blood of your daughter in order for you to have that dimension of result. What people want are results, even if it comes from Satan or it comes from God. Moses was in disobedience. God told him to speak to the rock, and he took his staff and he struck the rock, and water still came out. Moses had results, but he was in disobedience. Can we pray today and say, God, let the light of thy truth become my guiding essence, so that I will not end up in darkness. I can't hear your voice. This is the prayer of the wise. It's a prayer of the wise. Igaso somina keliba koria. Enciamole kambosa sali. For they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. And they shall cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Oh my. Iaso kobina kanteliade. Mosketo bamadike labose. For if you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He spake unto the Jews that believed on him. If you continue in my word, then shall you be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Can you go ahead and ask the Lord to give you a baptism of love for the truth? Love for the truth. Can you ask the Lord? Because love for the truth will grant you an entrance into truth. Say, bind up the law, seal it among my disciples. God will not expose and espouse you to truth if you don't have an affection for it. Can we pray and say, Lord, a fresh love for the truth. It doesn't matter where you are at right now, but if you have a love for the truth, you will come into the truth. Lord, make us a congregation, a generation that loves the truth, that will hold the truth in righteousness. Make us ambassadors, emissaries, merchandisers of truth. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Please, let's be seated briefly.